Aloha everyone. My name is Amy Uehara and I'm a master's student at the University of Hawaii at Manoa. Today I'll be presenting a small portion of my research as a part of my master's thesis under Dr. Michael Muzinski regarding jasmonic acid and cytokinin and their impacts on leaf growth. So let's get started. I'm going to tell you the story of the six-day-old maize seedling, at least a small portion of its life. And this maize seedling has a hard life ahead of it. It really has two goals in mind. It has to grow and it has to reproduce. The problem is that as the seedling grows, it faces a number of challenges in the form of harsh environmental conditions and pests and diseases. So the plant is able to, it's not completely helpless. There's defense pathways that it can call upon when it's faced with a pest. The problem is the energy resources that it needs to pull on this defense pathway are the same energetic resources that it used to grow. And this usually results in a stunted plant. This relationship between the energetic resources of the plant and the defense and growth responses has been often referred to as the growth and defense pathway. To mediate this pathway, the plant must take these external signals and convert them into internal signals to form a response. And they use chemical messengers called plant hormones or plant growth regulators to control this response. On your left, you see cytokinin, which is a classical growth hormone and is known for promoting cell proliferation. And on your right, you see jasmonic acid, which has been described mainly in plant defense. These two hormones crosstalk with a lot of other different hormones, but they've never really been shown to crosstalk with each other. Our lab believes we have found a new connection in which the cytokinin pathway and the jasmonic acid pathway are crosstalking with each other, and we think that understanding how these two hormones interact will help us to understand how plants mediate this growth and defense trade-off. What you may not know is both of these hormones have measurable effects on leaf size. And this is important to us because we study growth in our lab, and growth is a function of cell division and cell elongation. The maize leaf is a particularly good model for understanding growth because in the maize leaf, growth is spatially divided into distinct growth zones. From the left, you can see the division zone, which transitions into the elongation zone, and finally transitions into the maturation zone. And each of these zones can be identified by the distinct cell shapes and cell sizes, which I show below. We are also a genetics lab, and we use mutants to understand gene function. We have a hormone signaling mutant, which we think we can use to measure, to understand how jasmonic acid and cytokinin interact. And this is Harry Sheath braid 1. Harry Sheath braid 1 is a semi-dominant cytokinin hypersignaling mutant with reduced growth. And it has a number of different phenotypes, and these are all due to a mutation in the cytokinin receptor. For the purpose of this presentation, I will focus on the reduced growth phenotype. To the left, you see the wild-type sibling, and to the right is a Harry Sheath braid 1 heterozygote. Because it's a semi-dominant mutant and the homozygotes are too hard to work with, for the rest of this presentation, I'll speak of the Harry Sheath braid 1 heterozygotes because we use those the most. All of the phenotypes of Harry Sheath braid 1 can be replicated in our B73 inbred, which is a normal standard inbred line. We can replicate it by treating it exogenously with cytokinin treatment. And here you can see that the reduced growth phenotype of the Harry Sheath braid 1 is also, you can also see the reduction in growth in B73 treated with cytokinin. Now, at this point, you might be wondering, okay, Amy, why are all of these plants shorter if cytokinin is a growth proliferating hormone? Sorry, a cell proliferating hormone. And we had that same question, so we submitted our mutant to a collaborator, and he and us, knowing that cytokinin is a plant growth regulator and hormones crosstalk with a lot of different other hormones, did a hormone assay across the leaf. He divided the leaf into tip, middle, and base and looked at all the hormones and found that jasmonic acid was elevated across the entire leaf. And I want you to focus here at the base because the base is what includes all the growth zones that I showed to you earlier. Now, not in maize, but in Arabidopsis, jasmonic acid has been shown to play a role in smaller leaves by inhibiting the cell cycle. This led us to our hypothesis that JA accumulation is responsible for the growth reduction that we're observing in the cytokinin mutant. And I had two initial objectives to start off my research. And the first one is to determine how JA impacts maize growth in the beginning, because we've never seen this in maize, only in other plants like Arabidopsis. And the second objective was to determine how JA would impact our hairy sheath braid 1 mutant. So we started this, the first objective to address it, using our standard 6-day hormone seedling assay. And it's very simple. All we do is treat our seeds and germinate them for 6 days in our respective treatment. So here I use a 1 millimolar jasmonic acid treatment and a control treatment. I grow them, I germinate them for 6 days, rinse them, then transplant them to the greenhouse. And the measurements I take for this first experiment are endpoint measurements. So the maize leaf can be divided into the sheath and the blade. And I measure sheath length, and blade width at half the blade length. Here are my results for B73, which is, again, is our standard inbred. As you can see, with the y-axis being the measurement in centimeters and the x-axis including containing our treatment, so control and jasmonic acid, the sheath length, and blade width were all reduced upon JA treatment. And this led us to conclude that final leaf size and maize are reduced with JA treatment. I measured leaves 1 through 4. I'm just showing you the leaf 1 data, and this held true for all 4 leaves. Sorry, and we number leaves from the base, so 1, 2, 3, 4. But the thing to understand is that this is an endpoint measurement, and growth is far more complicated. And so I wanted to look at growth rate. Now, with growth rate, we have a factor of time, and there's a number of different possibilities we can expect. So with the y-axis being the growth rate and the x-axis being time, and with the previous results in mind, the first expectation would be, well, maybe there's no effect of 1 millimolar JA and the growth rate is unchanged. The second expectation might be that growth rate is reduced initially by the 1 millimolar JA treatment, but the length of time with which the leaf grows is unchanged. The third expectation could be that initial growth rate is unchanged with JA treatment, but the duration of time with which the leaf grows is reduced. And our final expectation would be that both the growth rate and the duration of time with which the leaf grows is reduced. So with that in mind, these are my results for B73 with and without jasmonic acid. On the y-axis, you see the average leaf elongation rate, which is the growth rate. And on the x-axis is hours relative to emergence of the leaf. So to measure growth rate, I measured from the base of the plant to the tip of the leaf, and I measured that every 12 hours. So my first measurement was when you can see the leaf from the whorl, and my final measurement was when the leaf stopped growing. And here are my results. As you can see, with jasmonic acid treatment, there is no initial change, no significant change in growth rate. But it seems that with JA treatment, the duration of time with which the leaf grows is reduced. So we concluded that JA treatment ends leaf growth sooner. This was all in B73, and I still needed to measure how it affects hairy sheath braid 1. Now, if you recall, hairy sheath braid 1 is a cytokinin hypersignaling mutant with already elevated levels of jasmonic acid. And I expected that because the jasmonic acid level is already high, the extra jasmonic acid wouldn't really have an effect on the plant because the levels are already saturated. So my next set of experiments are in hairy sheath braid 1 and its wild-type sibling. And I first started with endpoint measurements. So here you see the y-axis again is the measurement in centimeters, and the blue boxes are the wild-type sibling, and the red boxes are the hairy sheath braid 1 plant. Sheath length, blade width, Now, it seems that Jaswana acid did have an effect on the Hershey's grade 1. I looked at the percent reductions, and it seems that Hershey's grade 1 is reduced less than its wild-type counterpart. And so it is responsive to jasmonic acid treatment, but Hershey's grade 1 final leaf size is reduced less than wild-type, its wild-type counterpart. We also looked at growth rate, and this is the results for the wild-type sibling. Again, on the y-axis is the average leaf elongation rate, and on the x-axis is hours relative to emergence of leaf 4. Here you see that with jasmonic acid treatment in the wild-type sibling, we see the same results as expected to the B73 I showed you earlier, and that the length of time with the leaf grew was reduced with JA treatment. And we saw the same thing with our Hershey's grade 1 treatment. So here again, the initial leaf elongation rate is unchanged, but the duration of time, or the length of time with, at which the leaf is at steady state growth, is reduced with JA treatment. So, in conclusion, our hypothesis was that JA is responsible for some of the growth reduction we see in our Hershey's grade 1 mutant. And my initial objectives for the purpose of this presentation was to assess how JA affects maize and how our mutant would respond to the jasmonic acid treatment. We know now that JA reduces leaf size in maize, and it does so by reducing the length of time with which the leaf grows. We also think that Hershey's grade 1 is less responsive to the jasmonic acid treatment. As you can tell, this is an incomplete story, and we have a lot of molecular, genetic, and histological studies to do before I graduate. I would like to acknowledge my advisor, Dr. Michael Mizinski, who's there on the left, and the senior scientist in our lab, Dr. Angel Delval Echevarria, for both of their mentorship. I'd also like to acknowledge my lab mates for their support, and our collaborators, the facilities at UH and ASHS for their travel grant. Thank you for your attention. Do you have any questions? We have 1 minute for questions. Okay. So their question is, the Hershey's grade 1 mutation is due to a mutation in the cytokinin receptor. So how can we have a response when we apply exogenous cytokinin treatment? So we applied exogenous cytokinin treatment to our B73 plants. I'm not sure if I understand the question. Sorry. So the receptor itself is so the receptor has three parts. There's the cytokinin binding domain, the histidine kinase domain, and the receiver. And the mutations are in the cytokinin binding domain. And there are missense mutations, and we think that the mutations are, well, they cause changes in amino acids. And in the end, it's interacting with the loop, so we think it's more sensitive to cytokinin. So it's not blocking the cytokinin receptor, it's actually hypersignaling and is more sensitive to cytokinin. Did that answer your question? I'm sorry, I'll talk to you after. Thank you. That's a good question. So the question was, with extra JA treatment, are we inducing phytotoxicity? So I am using a really high concentration of jasmonic acid. I'm using 1 millimolar JA. The reason why I used this was because in a different maize paper, there it's by Dr. Kolomeets, they have a JA mutant in which the JA biosynthesis pathway is disrupted, and they rescued that mutation by spraying 1 millimolar JA onto that. So I'm not sure how to check for phytotoxicity. It's a good question. But because it's a seedling essay, I don't really know how much JA is actually getting into the embryo. The embryo contains 4 to 5 leaves, so I know it's impacting those initial leaves, but after that, the JA treatment, the percent reduction isn't as great as you measure the leaves further past that.